Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley
and Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us today. Our mission is to educate, empower, and enlighten.
And you can reach us 2 times a month, and we might be shifting that into something else at 1:30 on Mondays. Today we have a fabulous author of a book. Her name is Dr. Paulette Sherman. She wrote a book called The Book of Sacred Baths, and we're going to talk with her a little more in depth. But you can also sit here and get a hold of Marie if you're wanting to set up an individual session with her or a group session with her at 651-303-0555 or Beth at 651-941-36. We do it together or we do it individually. So you can have a goddess party, we come in and teach classes, or we do readings. You can also go to our www.divinegoddessradio.com and sign up for the sessions. And we would absolutely love if you went to our Facebook page, The Divine Goddess Radio. If you have any questions or comments, you can also email Marie and Beth at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. And I think I got everything, didn't I, Marie?
Yep. Did you have them check our website, too? Divine Goddess Radio.
Yes, The Divine Goddess Radio. I definitely did. Well, we're going to just jump into introducing Dr. Paulette Sherman. Hello, Paulette.
Hello, ladies. I'm so happy to be here today.
Yes, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, Paulette, how about you talk a little bit about yourself and how did you come about to writing this book?
So I'm actually a psychologist, so some people think it's that I wrote a book about baths. You know, I always liked baths, but they weren't like, you know, sort of a central thing in my life until a couple of years ago. And what happened was I had always been pretty busy as a working mom, commuting, all that, working and writing. So and then on top of that, I'm sure there was a certain amount of stress anyway and interest in spirituality. But it, as I said, it wasn't a full focus. And then I got breast cancer 4 years ago and I started to do my spiritual work. And as a way to try to heal as well. And my teacher told me that he wanted me for homework to meditate and get guidance every day from my angels. So I would try to sit on a pillow in my Brooklyn apartment with my, like, I think then I had like a 1- and a 3-year-old or something. And it was just very difficult, like, to focus. And I'm sure if I had to, I would have been able to do it. But what I started to do instead was retreat into the bathroom and have that be my time where I could close the door and arrange it that way and have quiet. And then I could get more messages that way. And as I continued, that was a place for meditation and also just getting more intuitive messages. But as I continued, I started to learn about all different things that I was interested in, like essential oils and crystals, and I started to put layers of energy work sort of upon my intention and my meditation work so that it became sort of a recipe prescription for each intention. And I did that for several years. And then, ironically, I wasn't intending to do a book about it, but ironically, I was in the bath with my husband because I have couples baths too, and it was a date night. And I was just asking for guidance. I suspected it was going to be about our relationship, but I heard, you're going to write the Book of Sacred Baths. There was a title, and it's like, and it's going to be really helpful for individuals and couples like it was for you. So then I was like, Ian, that's book number 21 of my legacy, because I was doing a legacy after. Yeah, so that was kind of easy. And then he's just like, oh, no, another book. But the good thing is that I had already been doing it for a while, so it came pretty easily because I knew how it was helpful.
What exactly is a spiritual sacred bath? What exactly is it?
So I make a discrepancy, I guess, between a regular bath, because that's normally like where you would wash your hair, shave your legs, all that, you know, physical hygiene. And your sacred bath is really your time, your divine appointment to connect to spirit and to yourself and to address like your emotional, spiritual, and mental cleansing, like, or purification. So it's a different way to look at a bath, I would suspect, but it's a ritual oasis time just for yourself to connect to spirit.
Wow. So, I know you said that you were a psychologist. So, how would you use this as a tool? I'm sure you see like lots of people who are stressed you know, having hard times. So, is this something that you recommend doing?
You know, I keep them totally separate. A psychic once told me, I think I was on her radio show. She told me, like, oh, you're going to develop some kind of vehicle where you integrate. I don't know if she meant specifically this, but just my interest in spirituality and psychology. But the way I was trained is, you know, really it's their agenda when I do strict psychotherapy. So I just am there. I don't put any of my ideas on the client, and I just kind of go with their agenda. And I've been doing that for, you know, 17 years. So I kind of do that for 2 days a week at the moment. And then with my life coaching is usually around life coaching or dating. And then my writing is more about anything else that interests me or things that have helped me personally that I want to share, because I got a message after the breast cancer to write 22 books. So they're all over the board. They're not, you know, there's an umbrella kind of theme of, removing obstacles to loving more in the world and helping women transform through change. But they're all about different topics, just whatever came to me, sort of my guidance. So it's my way of doing that. So, yeah, I don't really integrate into therapy work. However, I would say that as a therapist, it did inform this book, because I had like all these bachelor daters, and I've been constantly working on those issues, and I work a lot with couples. So I am part of a couple, so I know all the issues that would go into those kind of baths. And I do believe that particularly these days, there's so much stress with the news and everything that's going on, that something like this really could be a good therapeutic tool, again, separate from psychotherapy. But if you're not chronically stressed and in need of therapy, it could be just an easy way, as it was for me, to kind of connect and to let all the negativity go down the drain and to bathe in unconditional love and peace and to attract what you do want instead of worrying what you don't want all day, like many of us do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thought about it.
So the benefits to a sacred bath is learning to be able to take time to really center yourself and, you know, come into a sense of well-being and feeling more connected to your higher self, and then letting go all your stinking thinking down the drain, literally.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
What would you say are some of the few of the elements that go into a 25-minute sacred bath ritual, and how are a few of them helpful?
So I actually counted them out, and I think there were 10 to 12 parts of a ritual, not to like overwhelm anyone, but they're really simple things, but they all do have a lot of meaning behind them. And to me, because I'm someone who likes to learn, like some people don't care, just get in the bath. If it works for me, great. It feels good, you know. But for me, I like to understand the context of everything. And so, you know, there's a lot of research on meditation and how that helps us. And they even say that after you meditate, you know, it shows that you have effects 3 months later, and that you have more positive emotions, you're more mindful, more connected to your life purpose. So they've done a lot of research on it. So that part of the bath is getting in and meditating on a specific intention. And so that calms the mind and gives you more mental clarity. Also, I mentioned the word intention, which I know that you talk about. But, you know, picking a specific thing that this bath is going to be about was really helpful to me, because at first I would get in and I would, just by being still and quiet, I would immediately get more guidance than I would on the subway or my regular routine. However, it would sometimes get a message and sometimes I wouldn't. And when I'm really clear, like what I'm asking for, it's easier, I think. And I don't let, you know, if those other thoughts come in about my to-do list or what I'm worried about, I try to say, no, I'm asking about this. And I think that's really helpful as well. There's a lot of research on visualization that shows that when you can imagine like shooting baskets, let's say, as opposed to actually shooting the baskets, that the results are pretty similar. Or even like imagine playing scales of a piano versus playing the scales, and that it affects the same parts of the brain. So it's almost like an inner rehearsal that you're doing as part of the bath. So some tools that I knew about, I all incorporated into the bath ritual. So when you get in, you have an intention, then you do a visualization, a meditation, and a prayer, and an affirmation all around the same topic to kind of bring in that positivity and to align your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, which is the law of attraction, so you can better attract what it is that you want to manifest. And then there are some other things like candles and essential oils and crystals, and those all support the intention as well in terms of energy work.
Do you put things in your bath? I mean, do you have certain things that you would put into the bath for certain manifestation, or is it up to the person?
Well, all of this, I'm very clear about all my books, like it's very up to the person. Like I just gave a workshop on Saturday and somebody said, I'm Catholic and I don't relate to a lot of these goddesses or angels that you talked about. Is it okay if I substitute? And that's just one small example, but I was like, of course, like I have a big glossary because I like to learn about all the things, like the angels and the goddesses, and I'm like, and some people might, but you can do what speaks to you. If you're non-religious, you can use your higher self, you know. By the same token, like I started out with just, I think, a rose oil and a lavender oil and a white candle and a quartz crystal. And for those of you who don't know, quartz crystal can magnify any intention. So I didn't need to spend a lot of money, and I was still getting a lot of good results. But just because I became interested in what some of these meant, and I thought other people might be like, you know, oh, I want to relax. Maybe I can use a cellulite crystal to reduce stress, or lavender oil to reduce the stress. So putting these things in are just another layer of your intention. And so these are some things that I do suggest putting into the bath, just because it's fun and you're learning on that level as well, and it is supporting your intention. But one comment I got on Amazon was that, like, it's very overwhelming, the shopping list, because there's 52 baths, one for every week of the year. So it can be a lot. But I don't feel like people, it is the way that we organize the book, it is right in the front, so it can be scary. But I just want to assure people, and I do say it there, but people don't really catch it, I guess. But that is not, like, your angels are not going to care if you're using an orange candle or a white candle. Like, they still want to come, they're, like, thrilled to come to you, you know, and that you're making time for them. So don't get hung up on that. You can even use a ribbon representing the color for color therapy of the candle, like around a white candle. But, again, it's just it's whatever level you're at that you, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with in terms of the getting all these products. You don't have to do all of them, so...
So you do recommend a bath a day?
No, I take a bath a day. Yeah, I do. I guess if someone was asking me personally, what would I recommend? Like, I love taking a bath a day. Believe it or not, some days I take two baths, and I don't have a lot of time. Like I always say to my husband, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, people could have more kids than me, but I commute 90 minutes some days. I have so many things going on, and this really is, like, the one self-care thing that I always do for myself, and it's huge, and it really helps me to feel like I had more sleep, more mental clarity, more love to refuel and to give that gift to myself. And so I do recommend doing it almost like the way people would do meditation or exercise. However, I don't know if people, like, everybody loves baths or if people have that type of time. So I thought, you know, doing one bath for every week of the year would give people a lot of variety in, like, six major life areas. And then the idea, too, is that, you know, once you know, like, a bunch about the different crystals and the different essential oils and how to do the process, like how to climb in, what to do, you know, you can just make up your own. So if I had, my son was acting out and I wanted to do bath ritual and there's nothing like that in the book, let's say, I could just say, oh, what crystal would match this? And that's kind of fun, I think, to take it to the next level. And, you know, so you can do whatever frequency you want and you can even create your own baths.
Are there specific baths for women who have careers?
Yes, there are. There's a section for your career and finances. Do you want me to talk about that? Or?
Yes, please.
Sure. Okay. Okay, I was going to tell you what the other areas were, but yes. So there's even, like, one for creating abundance, for integrating more feminine energy, because I feel like a lot of times career women, I mean, we all have both, but can, you know, be a lot in the masculine and having to achieve and compete. And so it's sometimes helpful, like, at least I'll speak to myself, to be able to surrender more. Like, when I had to begin marketing this book, I was, like, making to-do lists, and I was just, like, feeling my morale was really low at first because I just, like, I had to do so much, like, in order to get it out there. And then I would take a bath and call in Shekinah, and it would come back to that more feminine surrendering energy, like getting help and, like, you know, really remembering why I wrote the book. So I would come back to more positive energy, please. So that's, like, one example. But I even have a bath ritual, which someone was asking me about, like, sometimes women don't ask for that raise as much as men do, or speak up in meetings. So there's even one about assertiveness and, like, picturing and visualizing, like, what you would say and what you wanted, what you deserve and what you would ask for. So things like that, and letting negativity down the drain if there are negative coworkers, and coming back to where you want to come back to with your intention and your energy. So things like that that I thought would be helpful.
Now, you said there's one for finances, and that seems to be the theme nowadays because, you know, everybody's in that scarcity and limited consciousness still. What would a bath like that, what would all be in it?
Well, I could look it up for you, but off the top of my head, I feel like you would call in Lakshmi or Demeter. Demeter is the goddess of the harvest. Lakshmi is the goddess of abundance. And you could choose like a different, you know, a crystal that would represent that, and an essential oil as well. Like I know patchouli is sometimes for abundance. Trying to think what else. Hold on, I'm just looking to see. Well, I guess I could look at my book and look up the bath. But anyway, and you would have a meditation where you would think about what it is that you'd want to attract. Like sometimes it could be money, sometimes it could be more love, or it could be, you know, seeds that you want to plant. Like I know I have one bath ritual where you plant certain seeds and imagine them growing, and gardening and just appreciating all. And sometimes that even could be appreciating what you've accomplished so far. So that you know that you already have a baseline where, or milestones where you've done that. And so you're feeling, you want to embody the energy that you want to attract. You want to be that energy. So you first look at where you've been abundant in your life before, either financially and other ways, and start putting those positive messages in, like affirmations and a meditation and things like that. And plus, when you call in an energy that's bigger than your own, it's really helpful because you feel like that universal archetype comes into your bath and into yourself and that you could relate to it. So you start telling yourself that you were worthy of your dreams or of utmost abundance or things like that instead of the messages that you would normally give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to look because I have 52 baths, but to see if you want me to look up an example of a meditation for that or if you just wanted sort of the major idea.
It was just an idea. I was just curious about
that. Yeah.
I think more people are probably interested in the love thing. Is there one specifically for love, to attract love?
Oh, I have many for love because I am actually a dating expert because my first book, Dating from the Inside Out by Atria Books, was about dating. So I kind of got into dating for a number of years. So I know like every dating issue, I feel like, at least so far, that there is. So for daters, there's stuff like to clear your negative thinking because a lot of times, I don't know about you, if it's been a while since you've been dating, but people are always like, oh, what if he doesn't like me? What if, you know, he doesn't show up? What, you know, thinking about all the times that they've had really horrible dates in the past or the reasons that the other person might not like them. So a lot of the baths are about that, like letting that go down the drain and imagining what is really wonderful about you and why you would be a great partner because, you know, most of us are for someone. You know, it's just we're looking at the other side of the story instead of owning our beauty and what we do have to offer. And also we're kind of pre-programming ourselves into negativity, into our fear versus like being in a state of love and relaxation and just kind of trusting that, you know, it doesn't have to be our husband, but that we can have a good time and appreciate the moment. So it's almost like what I would say is a good pre-date ritual to kind of go into your bath and let all that go down the drain in terms of thinking, like you said, stinking thinking, and bathe in love and relaxation and remember who you are and then just go and have a good time. So that's like one example. And I have like, you know, detox from a bad date and unpack relationship baggage or open your heart to love is a really big one because if you've been hurt a lot, like some people might actually go out on a date but they're not open because they don't want to trust and put their heart out there again. So they kind of want to hold it in, you know, hold back a bit. And so just to notice that and to work with that, you know, releasing anger and resentment, increasing trust, and this is more like in relationships. I have some long-term relationship baths and I have some marital baths, like increasing your passion and improving communication and shared commitment and things like that. So you
have one for couples. Have you and your husband used the baths, the couple baths?
Oh, yeah, we do a lot, actually. Well, mostly it's like the one day I get to go out and we have a babysitter for 3 hours, so we often go out, but my husband doesn't really like to spend money, and it can be, as most people would probably relate, like $90 or something just for the babysitter. So there will be times on a Friday night, let's say, or a Saturday night where we just stay home and we'll use his iPad and dance to like our wedding song and have a little wine, and then I set up the bath because that's something that, you know, I mostly like to do. But I think he also enjoys it now because, well, he said in the workshop he knows it makes me happy, but I think also it is like a way to not spend money and to relax and to kind of attune to each other and to transition from your work day instead of just going right back out. So I think it can be nice that way. And, Yeah, and I always say that it reminds me of, like, we all were born in the womb, you know, and we're all 70% water, so it's kind of a neat ritual where you're attuning to each other, almost the way a mom and a baby attune to each other without words, and then psychically you're getting messages that might be helpful for yourself or for the relationship, and bathing in love and peace so that you're in a better mood and stuff like that afterwards, so...
Now, do you believe because you're sitting in the water together and our auric fields are filled up with the day, do you believe that you're both going to be dumping into the tub at the same time, and is that necessarily what you want to be sitting in, literally?
I don't know I know you guys are psychic, right, so maybe you have your own opinion about that, but I guess that's possible because, like, you know, it is energy, but I don't think of it like that, and I think a lot of it's about your intention. It's true, like, I'll say, let everything go down the drain, or I'll intend that, but the drain's closed. It's funny, I never thought, but I'm sitting in, like, essential oils that have a very high vibration and positive intentions, because I specifically programmed that in. I do a pre-meditation before the bath where I ask only that the highest good and truth will come through, balance the elements. I'm just going through it very quickly here, but it's all in the book, like a very quick 5-minute meditation. And when I'm with my husband, I light the candle and we do it together and bring in a higher power. So then we put in the Epsom salt, which is to take away any negativity, right, from the aura and from toxins and stuff like that, and then the high vibration salts, and then we have an intention for going in. So I feel like even from the beginning, you're not really thinking of those things, but then you just say, like, let anything that isn't this go down the drain. So I feel like it's more of a metaphor, but I never really thought of sitting in energy. But I've had really positive experiences. I don't feel more mired in that energy. I often feel much lighter, and I would think he does too. So...
Well, I mean, water is very sacred. It's been around forever.
Right.
So that leads into my next question. Do you believe sacred bathing has been a cross-cultural practice, or is it a cross-cultural practice, do you think?
Yes, it definitely is. I mean, every culture from around the world, and Christianity and Judaism and that you could think of, has some ritual with bathing. And like when I did this book, I'm not very religious, I'm more spiritual, but I was brought up Jewish and I was married, so I went to a mikveh and I climbed in. It was really sacred. The water had been blessed by the rabbi, and you call God into your marriage, and I thought that was really beautiful. I live in, like, what I call Little Russia in Brighton Beach, so I've been to, like, the Russian spas where they have banyas and they go into the cool and the hot for several rounds. Some people say the Egyptian priestesses used baths, or these pools that were in the temples, in the pyramids, where they would sit for days and get guidance. And, you know, the Greek Greco-Roman baths were really amazing with the tepidarium and the flotatarium. And, you know, and of course the Chinese and Japanese have a lot of communal bathing rituals as well. So it's kind of neat to think about when you're in your modern bath, like, you know, stark bath alone, that, like, all these people all over the world for history have been purifying in water and had connection to God or to different symbolism, and so you're not alone, and there must be something to it. So,
yeah. So let me ask you a question, because this is more personal for me.
Yeah.
I cannot take baths. I cannot take baths. I just gives me the willies, but I can do all of that in the shower.
You know, so, I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously you can take, you know, the same intentions and do it in a shower, but do you feel there's a difference? You know, because I know soaking in water, like if it's a pool or something, no issue, but I cannot sit in a bath. It just, I don't know if it's a past life thing. Maybe
that's
I was
funny.
One of those.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Egyptian,
yeah, like if you drowned or something. Well, and it also could just be like, it could be a preference too, right? Some people say exactly what you said, like, you're bathing in your, I think one of my people in my building said to me, like, you're bathing in your own dirt, is how he thought of it. So it's all like your intention, but if you don't enjoy it, I think you could try a shower. I mean, I'm careful not to recommend something unless I've personally done it or work with people over and over again. However, like, I have a friend on Facebook who's Brazilian, and she told me, I don't know if this is true in all of it, all the places, but or maybe she's Portuguese, but she told me that they don't have baths regularly, and she wants to get a house. She really wants a house that has a bath, but right now she just has a shower, and that's often the case, and I was really, like, surprised by that. And she said that she thought she could do the same elements in the book. She bought the book, the intentions and the prayers and the meditations, which are, you know, the major tools on the law of attraction and all that. Certainly you could do that in the shower. But I sent her something that I hadn't tried, and I told her I hadn't tried it, but it was a sponsored ad on Facebook where there's something you can attach to your shower that has for the essential oils. And then I was on the radio show with a natural nurse, and she told me that, which I just think might be a little slippery, but she said she often puts the essential oils right on the floor, and with the steam, you can inhale it. So you just have to make sure you don't slip. But she said she does that all the time. So I think that you probably could. I just would want to hear back from you what your experience was. But I will tell you that Woody Allen gets most of his ideas in the shower, and it's still the water running over you. It's very common.
Yeah.
And then, like, Trumbo and Albert Einstein got a lot of their creative ideas in the bath. So I think they both do work that way. And you just play around with it, I guess, and see.
Yeah, because I do. I get a lot of I mean, that's my meditation time, and I do get a lot of my messages in the shower. I guess I hadn't really thought about, okay, let me try to steam some oils to, you know, try that. But, you know, I mean, I'm from India, and the bath is not, most people don't have bathtubs there. It's either, you know, because if you go to the villages or even, you know, my uncle's house, they have a shower, but they have a big space, and they do, you know, like buckets to take a bath. They'll fill up buckets because, you know, they have to conserve water. So there's no soaking in a bath, so to speak. And growing up, we never took a bath. It was always a shower.
It's funny you say that because my friend is very conscious, and I love her. She's a vegan, and she talks a lot about all different issues. And I said to her, the only thing is about, like, water conservation is another reason to maybe do it once a week. And I talk about that in the book and about, you know, other ways to save water or to share water. But she said the same thing to me, that she liked my idea, but she would do it with a bucket. And that's how I think the Mayans do a lot of their rituals, too, like for spiritual. So it's symbolic as well. So you could do that. And in one of my workshops, I had a bowl, and I showed everyone how to make the bath that way. So that's something that I don't do myself, but that you could try too. So I like all these ideas, and I would like to hear back if it makes a difference, you know, in the way that you do it. But for me, it's been just so relaxing just to, like, immerse in the water and just be still. So, I mean,
Could probably sit for a week
bath. Give me a 6-foot tub, and I will float in there until, I mean, I could be there for years.
I know. I don't even have that. Like, it's ironic. I have that on my cover, but I don't have that now. I have, like, a tiny apartment bath, but it still works. But one day I want that. Yeah.
So when you get all those messages, do you recommend that people have journals then, to journal afterwards or to journal while you're in the tub?
I do. At least that's what's worked for me. Somebody mentioned, it is mentioned in my book, that there's something called, I think it's called Aqua Notes. It's like this funny pad that you can, that's waterproof, and you can stick it, like, with stickies to your bathroom wall, and it has, like, a marker. So if you're one of those, like, almost like you're dreaming and you're in a liminal space, you can jot down any images or notes that way. But I like to, like, end the ritual, you know, put a towel over myself, and then have, like, a tea that matches, you don't have to do this part, but matches, like, the plant energy, matches your intention, and then just go in your bedroom for 5 minutes and just jot down any bullet points, messages you received, or things you'd like to integrate into your life, because then it's kind of fun to look back and say, like, did I do it? How did that play out? So.
Okay.
Interesting.
That is interesting. Because it was kind of ironic because, you know, in your show was scheduled, I was thinking, okay, I'll get some ideas because I'm just not a bath person. And the energies are really wicked. And so Beth had called me. She said, I have a message for you. You need to go fill up a bathtub and do all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't do it. She goes, put a bathing suit on. She goes, don't do it. And I'm like, I can't. I tried. I literally went in. I looked at it, cleaned the tub, started filling it, and my guy, I'm just going, nope. So my guide said, just do the same thing, but stick your feet in some water and do the same. Just meditate. So I thought it was.
Did that
so
work?
Funny,
I'm interested.
You know,
I mean, all these, like, permutations, but yeah, did that work for you? Like,
it did actually. It did work. There was a lot of stuff that came out, and then my guides, you know, I was going to start journaling, and I had my journal, and they said, nope, you need to go right now and drain that water because that's going to take it all down. So that's what I ended up doing instead of journaling. So,
wow. Well, the other thing I was going to say to you now that you brought this up again, it's easier for me because I live literally, which I love, but right by the beach, like I can walk to it. But I have other things you can do, like if you are by the beach, you could go with your girlfriends or by yourself in a bathing suit and do it in the ocean. Like you don't have to be undressed. You know, I'm sure there are other ways like thermal pools or like I give some examples in the book where I went to this thing called Spa Castle with my husband on a date night, and I tried the rituals different places. So I think it is nice to have that personal time, but if you don't like baths in particular and you like other kinds of water, you could try it that way, or a shower, like you said, or what you just said. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I'll try that. We'll try those different things in the shower and see. See if it, you know, changes the way I get in messages or if it amplifies it.
Seriously, if I could live in the water, I would be happy. If I could breathe under there and that was my life there, I'd be. So it's obviously my mermaid days.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I like too.
I can float in the ocean for days. I can sit in a pool for days. It's just the best stuff. So,
but there you go, though. So maybe that's
your
answer, though. Yeah, if you have that available, that's a thing. Because the thing I like about the bath is it's like easy right here if I can fit it in, but it's hard to go anywhere, you know. But some people, you know, do have that, like a pool in there if they have a house or,
So do you really truly believe that the baths help you achieve your dreams?
I do. I mean, well, I have a very concrete example, which is bizarre and maybe most people won't relate to in this particular way. But as I said, when I got the message, the bad news that I had breast cancer, I went for a walk on the beach because I live right here. And I heard, okay, no, you're not going to die, but, you know, you've achieved the five major things you wanted to do. But, hello, you have like a book legacy of 22 books to achieve was what I heard. And I was like, 22 books? I was so exhausted. And then I just felt like, well, that's what I was told because I wasn't getting messages all the time, you know. I was like, I better do it. So that became like an overwhelming feeling. But then after a while when I was doing these baths, it became easier because it wasn't like sort of academic writing like I would normally do or from my brain. It was more like getting guidance and being told what was next and just trusting that and surrendering more. And so that was an interesting thing for me to learn in terms of my creativity, is like having that incubation time and getting guidance and co-creating. So in terms of my dreams or goals, you know, 4.5 years later, I'm on book number 21, and I'm really blessed that it just turned out. Like, I just self-published on Amazon. I think I had 19 to write after, because I had written a few. And I just self-published them without any marketing and just stuck them on Amazon one after another. But then this one is being published by Llewellyn, which I love, the publisher I love. So it was just really like a dream come true. And so now I have at least one more. I probably have more in me, but at least one more. But I feel much more relieved at this point. So it really did help me with my dreams that way. When I have articles, I get in and I get an idea really easily. You know, sometimes I'll ask for concrete steps about something if I want to break it down. And so it's a way to not feel stuck or alone. Right now I'm thinking as a writer, but it could be in different areas. I mean, if you're having problems with coworkers or something where your ego is stuck and you can't see beyond it, you can contact like your higher self or a guide and maybe see something from a higher perspective that would help being the highest good of all. So I think it is really helpful in that way.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, this is the tool. I mean, your book is a really good tool because if people have problems, you have a really good way to address those, right?
Yes. I mean, I have to be careful because as a therapist, like, I'm not saying, like, come in with major depression or anxiety and, like, this bath will solve you, you know, we'll fix it in 20 or 25 minutes.
With a bath.
Yeah. But I will say that, like, if everything, you know, you're basically functioning, everything in your life is really good for stress. It's really good for, like, things that you would be trying to do anyway, but maybe you're forcing. Like, I talk a lot about, I'm Mars energy because I'm an Aries, first day of Aries. And I feel like this really balanced me out. It helped me to surrender more and move more into my spirit, into my soul's purpose, which does help you to connect with your dreams. And when you're in a state of fear, you're kind of stuck. But when you can shift into a state of unconditional love and feel like you have divine support behind you, you feel really powerful, right? And you're more open and more flexible. So I think in those ways it is really helpful.
And I know that, you know, you talk about, like, like, the baths can help people with like four different things, you know, the disconnect, stress, fear of being alone. If you have somebody, if you have somebody who really is a dependent person, you know, isn't this a great way for them to learn how to really take the time and have that me time to get to know who they are?
I didn't know what you meant by dependent, like if they depend on other people, but
yeah,
I don't know if
yeah.
it would shift that necessarily. But I do think one study that I mentioned a bunch of times is like in the book, I think, is that I heard that when people were asked if they would rather be alone with their thoughts or be shocked, they most often chose being shocked because they felt so uncomfortable being in a room alone with themselves. And I think our culture really fosters that, you know, that you're uncool. I hear this a lot, like, if you're single, but even in general, like going to a movie by yourself or going to a restaurant by yourself or, you know, being alone at home, God forbid, like on a Friday, Thursday or Saturday, you know. And to me, I'm like, it depends what side of the road you're on, like where the grass is greener. But for me, I'm so busy all the time. Like I love to sneak away and go to the movie. I don't care what anyone thinks, you know. So I try to encourage clients to develop a relationship with themselves, which already is an odd concept because we know we have to be like a great worker or a great daughter or a great mother, but people are like, we have a relationship with ourselves, you know? So I'll ask them like, what would you give it from 0 to 10? And they have to really think about that. How do they speak to themselves? How much time and energy do they spend on themselves? You know, what do they know that will make them happy? So I do feel like even spending 25 minutes a day is like a huge investment in yourself. And that's the one thing that you have, you know, no matter what happens, right? Because hope, maybe even the next life, we don't know. But anything else could change. But so, you know, I do feel like that is something that isn't talked about all that much. Plus, just getting into the relaxation mode is really healing for your immune system and for your health and stuff like that, too, and slowing down. Because I think another message is
who do you specifically call on when you're taking a bath? Do you specifically call on certain individuals, or is it every time you take a bath that you call on somebody differently?
Well, a lot of these baths I called on different people for different purposes, but I would say that I've gotten lazy, and not to insult Shekinah because she's my like favorite guide, but I have an affinity for Shekinah, which is a Jewish feminine divine, even though I'm not that religious, and I wrote a couple books about her just because I was called to. Intuitively, so I often call on her, and basically she's the divine mother. It's just in, you know, form of Judaism, she's supposed to be God's Sabbath bride who kind of came down to the earth to she's very compassionate to watch over humankind, you know, and she feels all of our sorrows, and she's really here to help us lift each other up so that she can kind of reunite with God. So as we raise our consciousness and help each other, it frees her up. So I just like that story, and I often call upon her, but it could be also a form of divine mother or earth mother. It's just she embodies unconditional love and compassion in the world, and she's a healer. So yeah, I don't necessarily always call in different angels. Sometimes I'll call my guardian angel. I always every day invoke like what I call the divine angelic matrix. So it's a series of a number of angels. So I feel like they're always around me as well. And I invoke that before every bath. So.
Oh, so if somebody was doing this for the very first time and setting the intention for a bath, who would you recommend that they call on?
Well, it really depends. I would say the main thing I would say, I have it all in the book, like, so if you're doing this intention, call upon this archangel or this goddess. I give them a number of choices so they could just follow that. But one thing I would say is that for somebody like my friend Aida, who is Catholic, you know, if it's going to upset you to call on, like, the goddess Athena or something or Archangel Raguel, don't do it. Just call on, you know, Mother Mary. That's fine. You know, if that's what you want to stick with and that's what works for you. Or if you're not religious and you really feel uncomfortable, call in your higher self. But don't let that be a way not to start. Because, again, I feel like this bath book can meet you on whatever level you're at, even if it's just to let go of stress and to be more positive and to bring in your dreams. Or if it's to get guidance from your higher self. So there's different levels of this.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Because I think, I know, you know, when you start talking about spirituality, some people can shut down a little bit. And, you know, because we hear that all the time, but it's always, you have to say, you know, call on the person that makes you comfortable. Call on the person that you connect with. It doesn't have to be the same name that we say or whatever, but you know, that can always, sometimes people are afraid because they don't want to take that step to say, okay, I don't believe in this. I'm not going to call on anybody. But you can substitute. I mean, if God makes you feel good, call in God, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is a section you just reminded me of, like, I don't know if this will make people feel weirder or more comfortable, but people that, you know, you may be familiar with from school, like, for example, Mother Teresa or Gandhi, I really like. So if I'm going through something, not to compare myself at all to Mother Teresa, who's, like, picking kids out of garbage cans, but, you know, if I'm going through something and I feel like, oh, it's not working, I just want to give up, no one's, like, there's no support around this, you know, I think of her and, like, everything she went through, and I could ask her advice on perseverance with your soul's purpose or something like that. So that might be something that possibly people would relate to, because she's, like, an ascended master, even though she passed away, that you could ask, kind of bring her in and ask her guidance based on what she went through or something like that. So that's just another example. But I tried to give a variety of examples so that it would be inclusive for people. And there's a glossary in the back.
Who would be some of the individuals that you would call on for, you know, betterment of health?
Oh, there's this guy, Kathumi, who's an ascended master. I learned about it actually from Doreen Virtue, who I think was like a disciple, and he's supposed to be really good at commitment and discipline. You could even, like, it, depending what it's about, like if it's about, like, oh, I really want to be good on this diet or give up cigarettes, like you call on him, or you could call in, like, Hera is the goddess of marriage, but I also call her the goddess of commitment. Also, Archangel Raphael is the Archangel of Healing, sorry. So, you know, those would be some examples. But you could even, like, call on your guardian angel, right? That's what I consider, like, your life coach for your soul. So that they know you better than anybody else, right? So maybe even yourself. So, you know, it's like, what obstacles are in my way here that I need to work on healing or removing, and can I get guidance around that? So.
What do you have, like, a really good success story in relation to a sacred bath that you have had, or maybe one of your clients have had,
or both?
Well, I haven't, as I said before, I haven't told this to any of my clients. In fact, it would have been nice because, like, I would have had more people at my events and stuff, but I don't do that. It's really about them and their agenda. So I don't have any stories about that, although hopefully I will, like, as people read this book, because it came out in August and I did put my email in, so hopefully people will tell me. And I have had, like, my Reiki teacher tell me, oh my God, I had amazing baths, and some radio hosts actually told me that they took the bath and had, like, amazing experiences, but I actually don't think they went into what it was. For me, I've had a lot, and it's funny because it's almost like dreams, I forget a lot of them, but I did try to, like, get out and blog way before the book came out, so there are a lot of blogs on my sacredbathing.com website saying messages I got, which were mostly, like, amazing for me. I don't know if they would really address anyone else, but they were helpful to me, like, you know, maybe I needed a message about my relationship or, like I said, about my book or things like that, and I would just write up a short thing about what it was I received. But I would think the biggest thing was what I shared already, is just that getting this message that, oh my God, you're going to have a lumpectomy, eight chemotherapies and 33 radiations while you're working and no hair and be really low energy. And it was like the power of that, my spirit was more powerful and strong than my body and just gave me energy, and my soul's purpose gave me energy, and just getting these messages that I knew that it was like the next step and that I was what I was supposed to do. And so even when I had a lot of negativity, whether it was from, you know, the stress of the illness and even from some of my family members, I have to say that thought it was ridiculous that I was like writing these 22 books and like not making any money, maybe spending some money to publish the ones I had to do myself, and like, you know, it's just like, why now? You know, you should focus on your health. So having that inner knowing that, yes, this was something I needed to do was really, really helpful to me. And so I'm happy now that I look back to see that I'm, you know, almost at the end of that road and that I trusted it. So
are you cancer-free now?
Knock on wood, as far as I know. I did just have my, every 6 months I have a mammogram, so I had one on the 19th, and they said just come back in 6 months, so.
Good.
Yeah.
It feels like you are, just so you know.
Yeah, thank you. I've heard that from a few radio, they'll like throw that in, I'll be like, so I'm like, oh good, I'm glad.
You do feel clear. Your energy is really, you're pulsating. You're very,
oh.
You're very clear.
Very vibrant. Very vibrant.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank
so you're
you.
Doing the right thing. So this is your mission, is to enlighten and empower others, individuals, obviously, correct?
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I mean, I've always been a healer, and so those two themes that I told you were what jumped out in, like, my very diverse array of books, but was kind of like to help women or people to transform through change and also to remove any obstacles so that we could love more. I would say that's the general theme of either, like, my therapy, coaching, or writing. But I did write, like, 4 books on my cancer experience, and I call him my angel guy, but my spiritual teacher that has helped me pretty much for the past 4 years through this, he said that, you know, one of the reasons that my soul went through it was to help other women that were going through it too. So that helped me also to get through it while I was writing, you know, to know that maybe it would help other women. So.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I firmly believe that we go through those experiences because that's the role that we're going to be stepping into, is to help individuals going through it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
What's your favorite bath?
Everyone asks me that. I think it's the Love Yourself Madly bath, which sounds kind of crazy, but because it's that and the self-care bath are the two in the beginning that are the foundational ones, because I feel like, especially as a working mom, but anybody, like, you know, we have to give to ourselves and not feel guilty about it so that then we can go out into the world in a better place. And one of the things I say at the end of the book is that we can all imagine ourselves to be like bath priestesses or priests, where we take that time to raise our energy into a state of love, to be really clear about who we are and what we want to create. And then everything we touch goes better, you know, our kids, our work, and we have more energy. Because otherwise we give, and, you know, there's nothing left. And then, you know, there's no way to reset, and we burn out. And it affects our health as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That is so true.
So, is your book, is it on an e-book or is it a physical book?
They made it into both. It's on a Kindle, which is an e-book, and it's also a regular book, a regular paperback.
Okay, and what are the pricings for those?
You know, I wonder if it says it on here. I think it might be like $17 on Amazon, $17.99, I think, $20.95 in Canada. And I think Kindle must be less. I don't know if it's $9.99. I'm just guessing, but I'd have to look it up on Amazon. But it's on, you know, all the major, like, Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, Walmart,
okay.
And, yeah, on my website.
Okay,
yeah.
What is your website?
Oh, it's a sacred bathing, S-A-C-R-E-D, bathing.com. And on there, I think you can, like, have a variety of options where to get it if you want.
Okay. And then where do you teach your workshops?
Oh, I've taught them all over, actually, because I just wanted to spread the word. So I even went to, like, Warwick, New York. I just spoke at this past Saturday at CRS, which is Center for Remembrance and Sharing, I believe, but it was hosted by Om Shanti Bookshop. So I taught an hour-long class there. That was really nice. And, I'm doing one at the Healing Arts New York Center on the 13th of October. So I'm just trying to do, like, you know, we're actually going to be speaking, which is really fun, in Salem in October at Pyramid Books on the 22nd, because I wanted to take my kids to Salem. They're older now, and I thought they would love it in October. And so I was very blessed that that store said that I could come do a book signing there. So we're excited.
Nice. So you're located in New York. Is that where you're located?
I live in Brooklyn, and my office is in Manhattan. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So people can look for you locally if they're in New York.
Yeah, my therapy website is dr without the dot Paulette Sherman, drpaulettesherman.com.
Okay.
So either way, I think there's emails, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any other additional messages that you wanted to get out to everybody?
I would just say that it's been really helpful to me to have a divine appointment with myself and with spirit. And I really look at it that way. And I would also say that I know it's very hard to do, like, exercise and eating right and all these other things that we do that are in sleep even sometimes that are good for ourselves. But this is something that once you start it, hopefully, unless you're not a bath person, it will be the most enjoyable way for you to make changes, because it's actually relaxing and you will look forward to it. And so that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the process.
That's awesome. Very transformational process.
I'm manifesting a 6-foot tub. I'm manifesting.
Me too. I have a vision board with you.
I'm more clear on that, so thank you, Paulette, for helping me become
clear
on that.
Let me know if that happens.
I'm like, I think I would need a 12-foot wide tub so I don't feel like I'm stuck in this little thing.
Well, one thing I didn't tell you ladies, if we have time, is that there's this thing called Zen Float Tank, and I'm not, like, you know, even attached to them in any way, but it's less than buying a float tank, which can be, like, 10,000. I think it's, like, 2,000, and you put it together, but it's sort of the size of a bed, so I don't have room in this apartment, you know, to do it, but if I get a house, that's another thing that's similar. You can do the bathing ritual, but you float with no gravity, so that's pretty awesome, too. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
I like it. I like it. If you only knew how much I am definitely a bath person, I could be in the water for life. That's when I'm my happiest, is when I'm in the water.
Wow. Me too.
I love it. This has been extremely great information.
It has, yeah.
It's so simple, and yet there's people out there going, what? Really? You know?
Thanks. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I think so, because, you know, it's taking that extra step and really helping you to become clearer on what it is that you need in your life, or where you want to go in your life, or how to get what you want in life. So I think it's a very, very great message.
Thanks. I always said, like, even with dating, that we create from the inside out first, and I think sometimes we're rushing around trying to do everything in the outside world, and we forget that we have to be still to co-create with divine, but also just to picture what it is we want and to align our feelings and emotions, you know, our thoughts with that. So this could be a way to do it first thing in the morning. Or some people say they'd rather do it at night. I don't know. Depends what's good for you.
I can imagine your dream state would be a lot more interesting if you did it at night, because you'd be totally open.
Yeah, that's what a few radio show hosts that were psychic said to me. She's like, no, because I really like doing it in the morning. To me, it's like a reset but for the day. But she was like, no, I'm definitely doing it at night. She was really excited about it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what works for you.
I could just see if you went in with your intention and then went to bed, what you could channel throughout the night and what your, my God, your dream journal would be fantastic the next morning.
And it helps you to relax, too. I think it's that transitional ritual as well. Like, let go of all the sort of thinking energy in the day so that you can just be more. Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yes. Well, this has been a fun chat.
Yes.
Thank you.
Really,
I really appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. And to everybody listening, too, we thank you for joining us. And remember, why don't you let everybody know the name of your book again and where they can find it?
Sure. It's called The Book of Sacred Baths, :52 Bathing Rituals to Revitalize Your Spirit. And you can go to sacredbathing.com and buy it on there or on Amazon.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Good luck to you on your journey.
Yes, good luck.
No, I appreciate it. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everybody.